Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
So good to be together. We had such an incredible four-part series on Psalms. Paul, thank you again. It was so helpful. The entire series is on our YouTube channel, so you can go and watch if you missed any part. All our messages are always on YouTube, so you can always go and share it with anyone that you think needs to hear it. But Paul encouraged us again last week that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's read that together from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are not a mistake. God made you with his own mighty hands. He made you on purpose and for a purpose. To be fearfully and wonderfully made is part of our identity in Christ. So today, I'm going to speak about knowing who we are in Christ. So that is the title of my message. It is so important that we know who we are in Christ. Because there are so many voices in this world that want to tell us who we are. There's the enemy that's always trying to make us feel small and insecure. There are other people that can tell us stuff that may be intimidating, completely wrong about us. So many people face verbal and emotional abuse. Our culture can tell us who we're supposed to be. And sometimes we believe lies about who we are. So it's so important that we understand who we are in Christ. Our enemy knows that if we know who we are in Christ, we will step into the fullness of what God has for us, and we will live satisfying, abundant lives. So our enemy, Satan, will do anything to distort our identities in Christ and to rob us from who we are in Christ. He doesn't want us to know it and believe it because he wants to keep us trapped. We were in Livingston a few years ago, Paul, myself, and our sons, and when we're there, we always go to see the Victoria Falls. Zambia is a beautiful country, but the Victoria Falls is just significant. It is stunning. And this specific time, the falls were in full flood. And as beautiful as it is also really dangerous. So there are warnings up everywhere to not go too close to the barriers, to stay on the path. And you know, if you go down that gorge, like 100 meters, it's not going to end well for you. So I'm always the one saying, stay back, be careful. And on this day, we were walking and there were other tourists around us, including some Chinese-speaking tourists. They were very excited, taking pictures of everything. The next moment, a naughty monkey jumped into the scene and he tried to scare us. But we weren't scared because we're South Africans. And we said, chavach, 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 chavach. But some of the Chinese tourists tried to take pictures of him. So he saw it's a soft target. And he grabbed the photographer's bag. And we said, sit it near, sit it near. But he took the bag and he started running. He was teasing us. So we chased him until he went down the gorge with the guys back. At this point, The guy whose bag it was started screaming, pulling his hair out, falling on the ground. But then we knew there's something very important in that bag. So when everybody went to talk to him to hear what's going on, look, the monkey's there. He's got opened the bag, just throwing stuff out, and he's like, there's no food in here. No one could go there to get the bag at all. Then we asked the guy, what is in there? He said, everything. Me, my identity, passports, proof who I am. So we realized all his ID documentations, his passports, everything was in there. And he was just sitting there. I actually don't know what happened then, you know. What do you do? I don't even know where you begin. But that is how our enemy Satan is trying to steal our identities. He wants us confused, fearful, and not sure about who we are. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus wants us to live a rich and satisfying life, but Satan doesn't want that. And he knows when we know who we are in Christ, we will step into that fullness. He keeps trying to rob us from knowing who we are in Christ. And he wants us to listen to all the other voices and not believe who God says we are. What does it mean to be in Christ? So it means when we give our lives to Jesus, so when we get born again, it means God comes and lives in us. But we also are now in Christ. It happens at the exact same time. God comes in us and we are in Christ. The epistles, that's the letters that's written to the church in the New Testament, uses this terminology all the time. In Christ. And the best way I can explain to us what that is like is to use this bowl of water. Julle het gedink ek's net dors en ek gaan net die hele tyd water drink, né? Let's say this is Christ. This bowl that's full of water. And this empty little cup is us. We are empty. But when we give our lives to Jesus, then we are in Christ. And Christ is in us. And he is all around us. And that is so important for us to understand that, yes, God is in us, but we are also in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's us if you're a believer, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The old has gone. Wat nou gebeur met die ou self? Where's it gone? Romans 6 verse 6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. It means the power of sin and darkness over our lives has been broken once and for all at the cross. And Jesus conquered death. And the ground began to shake. And on the third day, he rose again, and he rose victoriously. And now, God's word says, he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. But what God's word also says is, if we are believers, if we are born again, we are in Christ, where he is seated. 1 Peter 3 verse 22 says, Christ is now in heaven, where he sits at the right side of God. All angels, authorities, and powers are under his control. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Yes, God is in us, but we are also in Christ. So yes, we have this life, like you can see me, I have a blue blazer on, you're sitting on a chair, this everyday life we live, but we also have this life inside of us that is more real than the color of your hair. And right now, I'm here. But it's what's happening on the inside. God is in me and I'm in Christ, seated with Christ at the right hand of God. It's what the Word of God says and it's what we declare and it is what we believe. And I have with Christ, because of what he did at the cross, I have authority over all powers. So we are not of this world. We're not. We are in it, but we are not of this world. And although this can all be very difficult to understand, it is very important that we understand who we are in Christ. Because as people, we have this tendency to find our value in what we do. But when we are in Christ, it's not about our do, it's about our who we are in Christ. We tend to base our worth on what we do. As people, we even when we talk to each other and meet each other, after we ask each other, what's your name? What's the next question? What do you do? And if someone tells you they are the president of Kentucky Fried Chicken, that is going to impress you, right? And they might even have more value in your eyes. But if somebody tells you, I do niks, I will not a washout, you know. We have a tendency to then place less value on that life. But that is wrong. Because we are valuable because of what Jesus did at the cross. Our value depends on what someone is prepared to pay for us. What will you pay for my blazer? Wat sal julle betaal vir hom? $400. Well, that's the value it has if you're prepared to pay for it. Because I can say it's R1 million. If you're not going to pay for it, it's not worth it, you know. But Jesus died and he gave his life for us. He paid with his blood. He purchased us. And we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. That is where our value is. We are in Christ. Whenever I fly and I get to meet the person sitting next to me, we ask, what's your name? Marinette. Say that again. Just like, Marinette. And then they'll ask, what do you do? And then I'll say, I'm a pastor. Then they either tell me everything about their lives, from their grandmother's pet parrot. And I love that because God can give me an opportunity to help them discover their purpose or something like that. But the other response I get is, well, and then they have a book. I don't know where they find the book, but they stay on the same page the whole flight. And when the flight lands, they're gone. But you know what we do? We tend to bring our tendency to base people's value and our own worth on what we do into our relationship with God. So we think, if we do more for God, then he's going to see us as more valuable. He's going to love us more. And we're going to have more of his favor. But no. He is love. He loves us. We are favored and blessed by him because we are in Christ. And he's in us and we are seated in heavenly places. So we think if we read our Bibles more and we come to church more and we serve every Sunday, all four services, we're going to score brownie points or something with God. But we're not. Because he loves you just the way you are, unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to make him value you more or love you more. Yes, we honor him in the things we do for him because we love him. And it's our response to what he's done for us. And we need to know the Bible. So he asks us to do that so that we can grow. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. That means if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we are in right standing with God always, all the time, even when we make mistakes and we sin. If you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. That is powerful because we always think about what is wrong with us. What is wrong with me? Why did I say that? What is wrong with me? Because Paul can fast like a beast. He can fast and nothing, eat nothing for 4 days and then eat and stay happy and like a sickle biggie midi fast. You know, it's not that easy for me. I'm the only one. That's why I put in the back of the booklet, if you fail, just start over again. Talking to myself. I hope I'm not the only one. We need to be thinking, what are we doing right? And if we are in Christ, we are in right standing with God. There's nothing wrong with you. In fact, you are completely complete. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, God has made you complete in Christ. So, maybe you're single and it feels odd for you, maybe a bit incomplete when you go to events, even church perhaps, and there are other married people or couples, and then you just feel a bit odd, like something's missing, nothing's missing. Nothing's wrong with you. Maybe you were married and you lost your spouse. Now you go to dinners, maybe church events, and you're on your own and you feel it's not okay because like you don't belong. It's a lie. That is not the voice of God. Because God says you are complete and we lack nothing in him. He is our shepherd. It's completely okay to be single and to be on your own. Don't believe that lie because we are complete in Christ Jesus. We need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. We need to speak to ourselves about ourselves. We need to tell ourselves who we are in Christ because it helps us formulate who we believe we are. So I am a child of God. I am a new creation. Sin has no hold on me because I am in Christ. I am in right standing before God. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, even when you slip up in fasting. No condemnation. In fact, he encourages us and it gives us strength just to carry on. We are redeemed. I am set free. I'm highly favored and blessed and called and loved. We need to speak to ourselves about who we are and remember it is done. It's a done deal. You don't have to negotiate now. Am I? You are, if you are in Christ. When Jesus said at the cross, it is finished, it was finished. We are not under the law. Christianity is not about being religious and doing this and doing this and doing this. Not at all. It's about love and unconditional love. When we understand what it means to be unconditionally loved, everything changes. It's the most important thing to understand, because understanding and knowing we are loved unconditionally is a springboard forward into everything else. It moves us forward. Because if you know who you are and you feel great about yourself, you can love others with that same love. If we don't believe we are unconditionally loved, we will be stuck. You might not understand it, but you just won't be moving forward. And it might be feeling like you keep hitting a wall in your walk with the Lord. Study and read all the verses on His love for you. His word is powerful, and His truth sets us free. When I was 19, I was in a bad car accident. The driver lost control of the vehicle. We were on an open road. To give you an idea, I wasn't safe, and I was teruggekom van die waterfees af. So it was not good. Vrystaatse kant. Anyway, so the car started rolling. I was sitting behind the passenger seat. And when the car stopped, I was trapped in the car and I couldn't get out. And I was unconscious. But then I regained consciousness. And a bystander that came across the accident scene was looking through the shattered window at me sitting inside. And she said, "Hi, what is your name?" I remember this so clearly, but I had no idea who I was. It is the strangest feeling to know you should know your name, or at least who your family is, or a phone number. It's the strangest feeling. And I remember saying to her, "I don't know my name." And she said, "It is okay." I said, "I don't know who I am." And I remember saying to her, "What is your name?" I still had manners. At least being polite was still part of me. So like, that was a strange thing. I'm like, okay, this is who I am. I'm actually a kind person, you know? I recovered completely. It took a while, but I recovered completely. God healed me. But, you know, it makes me think of how when we go through pain and trauma and suffering, how it can cause us to forget who we are. And we can get confused about our identities. In this world, we face so many obstacles and heartbreak. And I don't know what you've been through or going through, but betrayal can really hurt deeply and cause you to be confused about who you really are in Christ. The things people say about us or to us can cause us to not know who we are. Maybe you've been divorced and Satan's been lying to you about your identity. Maybe you feel rejected. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe all you can feel is shame. Can I remind you are in Christ and you are seated in heavenly places with him. Your life is valuable and God has a good plan for your life. Plan to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. Loss. The loss of a loved one can cause us to be confused about who we are. It happened to me 2.5 years ago when my father suddenly passed away. We didn't expect it at all. We just suddenly got a call that he's died. And I spoke to him just like in the week, and it was a shock. But what caught me completely off guard is that I really started to struggle as the months went by. And people would say it gets easier, but it actually just became harder. And I wasn't sure why. But what happened is I started believing a lie that the enemy was telling me, that I was less loved. My dad was a very good father. That's not everyone's story, but he loved me. He was a very good father. And when I lost him, I lost that love. The love of my dad. Although I'm 50 years old now, it's a strange thing to just suddenly feel you're less loved. And because I started feeling less loved, I started behaving in a certain way, treating people in a certain way. Don't stress, Paul is a good husband. He loves me, but he can't complete me at all. My sons love me. You love me. You love me. But I believe the lie that I'm not complete without the love of my father, and that it will never be the same again. But God had to reveal to me that he is my heavenly father, and in him I lack nothing. And when we know our identities in him, we can live a full, abundant life in him. My life is satisfying. I love my life. But if I allowed the enemy to steal my identity and make me believe that I'm not unconditionally loved, I would not be as joyful as I am today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for us on the cross. No one murdered you. You laid down your life for us. They plucked out your beard. They spat on you. They made fun of you. They gloated over you, Lord Jesus. But you, for the joy set before you, who was us, lay down your life for us so that we can be set free, so that we can be in you as you are in us. Lord, this morning, we just come against all the lies that's been spoken over our lives, Lord God. We take authority over it and we declare we are blessed. We are made in your image. We are set free. We are made whole. We are called. We are redeemed. We are your children.
And you say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I have fallen short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. Fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I won't ever measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high I don't belong. Oh, you say and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.